Let's all pray together. Living and loving Lord Jesus Christ, we're grateful for your goodness to us, and we come here saying that I was glad when they said to me, let us come away to God's house, and we lift up our eyes to the hills, knowing from where our help comes from you, Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You will not allow our foot to be moved. The one who keeps watch over Israel, does not slumber, nor does he sleep. God, we're grateful that you've brought us to this place. Thank you for traveling mercies that have allowed us to be here once again at Paisano. Lord, our holy hope this evening is that as we open Scripture, that you would give us eyes to see, that you would give us ears to hear, and as the word is sown into our hearts, we ask that by your good grace, it would yield 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Lord, we say like Samuel of old said, speak for your servants listen. And so we lean into your love, your life, and the light that you have to shed and to share. From your holy word, we offer you our prayers through our loving Lord Jesus. Amen. Good evening. My name is Todd Still. I know many of you, and I've been introduced to others of you, although Bill didn't introduce me to any of you tonight. So I hope to get to know you. Bill was in a hurry to get to the children, as he should be. But I do want you all to know someone who's new to us this year, Dr. Phil Christopher. Phil, would you please stand? Phil is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Abilene, and Phil will be preaching he's going to be preaching when I'm not, right? And so we're delighted to have Phil, Mary, their son with us this evening. Would you all stand so that we might give you a Paisano welcome? I don't know much, but I do know this. You get an upgrade in Bible teaching this year. Dr. Dwayne Brooks, the pastor of Tallawood Baptist Church, will be leading our Bible study each morning, walking us through, if I recall correctly, Dwayne, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Dr. Dwayne Brooks, please stand so that folks can see you and say hello to you. I'm grateful to President Collins for the invitation. I'm grateful that a number of years ago, my dear friend Levi Price invited me to come along to Paisano. I have forgotten how many times I've been here now, but not enough. And I'm glad every time that I get to come back. I don't know if you have a Bible, but I hope you do. And if you do, would you please take it and turn it to the book of Philippians? We're going to find ourselves in Philippians chapter 4 this evening, beginning with verse 4 and going through verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. It has been said that if the Bible were a ring, then the book of Romans would be a diamond. That may well be true. And I like Romans a lot, and my final message is going to come from Romans. But I want to suggest that if, in fact, the Bible were a necklace, the book of Philippians would be a pearl. It's amazing when we turn to Philippians how familiar this letter is to us. In fact, collectively, we might be able to quote the whole of the letter together. This letter has meant much to many, so we can say that the one who began a good work within us shall be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To have this attitude amongst ourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Forgetting that which lies behind me, I press on towards the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through the one who is strengthening me. And God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And it's likely that I have omitted one of your favorite verses. Many of the most familiar lines in Philippians may be found in Philippians 4:4-9. I'm kind of old school, you'll forgive me. I really don't know how to dress. What I do know is you do not come in flip-flops like Dennis Wiles did. I just know that. So I just came from church this morning, so that's how I didn't have time to change. So I'm old school. Would you mind to stand in reverence of God's word as we listen to and for God's word together? I realize not everyone can stand, and I know that you're standing on the inside. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness, or perhaps your forbearance, be made manifest to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which outstrips all understanding, will build a fortress around your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, friends, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, dwell upon these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, just do it, and the peace of God will be with you. Please be seated. May I please direct our attention to the second portion of Philippians 4:5. Paul begins these famous lines by saying, let your gentleness or your forbearance be made known to all people. Then he writes three Greek words rendered in four English words. The Lord is near. This is a delicious double meaning or double entendre, it seems to me. If we were to press Paul and we were to ask Paul, how do you say that the Lord is near? It may well be that Paul could say that the Lord is near temporally. He clearly thought that. At the end of chapter 3, he says that our commonwealth is in heaven, from where we await a Savior, who shall change the body of our humiliation into the body of his glory by the power that he has to subject all things, even unto himself. Paul joined the early Christian chorus crying, our Lord, come, Maranatha. He can say to Thessalonian Christians who had lost loved ones that, I do not want you to be uninformed, friends, in order that you may not grieve as those who have no hope. For we know that the Lord will come, even like a thief in the night. I grew up in places like this, hearing calls for preparedness. Preparedness for Christ's coming. What if it were today? Lift your eyes upon the eastern skies, lift up your heads. We used to sing one to another. Redemption draweth nigh. I don't know why we don't tend to sing songs like that much anymore. Maybe because we don't much believe in that anymore. But the early church did. And we stand in that long line that say, Christ shall come to judge the quick and the dead. It's the responsible position of any Christian generation to live life in light of Christ's promised return. I don't know why we don't talk about it much anymore? Could it be that Revelation's interpretation by some have scared us all away from thinking about such things? Or could it be that, as Wordsworth once said, the world is too much with us? It was once suggested that folks like us were so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Sometimes I worry that I'm too earthly minded that I'm any heavenly good. It could mean when Paul says the Lord is near, that the day is far spent and Christ is coming soon. Open your hearts. See if there's room. Jesus is coming soon. It might well mean that, but this evening, would you allow me to take this phrase in another direction? The Lord is clearly, in Paul's understanding, and I would argue should be in ours, near temporally. Peter can join the chorus. The Lord is not slow about keeping his promises, as some count slowness, but he tarries so that none would perish and all would come to repentance. But might it mean here, when Paul says the Lord is near, that he means that the Lord is near spatially? As Paul leaned into Israel's story, this was clearly a commitment and a conviction that was theirs. In the beginning, the Lord was near, brooding over the deep. And even as the first couple walked in the garden, God walked with them in the cool of the day. And even once they lost their way and were put out of the garden, and even as humanity reached a depth of depravity that brought on destruction, even then the rainbow and the dove signal the promised presence of God. When the people of Israel were led out of Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey on rather a circuitous route, isn't it fair to say that God made God's presence known by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? We begin to think of the prophets. We listen to Elijah, and the Lord makes himself known in a still, small voice. Isaiah experiences God in the year of King Uzziah's death, when God's presence is absolutely everywhere. Isn't that what it means when it says the train of his robe filled the temple? Jeremiah, he sought to get away. I don't have much to say. I have plenty about which to cry. But God says, I have grasped you, I have called you, I am with you. Daniel found him to be the fourth in the fire. Ezekiel saw him as a wheel within a wheel. And we ponder the impenetrable insights of the psalmist. Where can I go from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. There is absolutely nowhere that I can go that you're not already there. Paul says, the Lord is near. He knew that because Scripture taught him that. Paul also knew that because that was his experience. In the rough and tumble reality that was his apostolic ministry, we can read all about it in various places. He suffered more than most. And in the midst of this, he's able to say that the Spirit of God so indwells our lives that he is able to utter the unutterable. When we don't have words, the Spirit is able to convey and to communicate that which we would say if we could say it. Paul knew from the story of Israel and from his own story in which he found himself situated, that the Lord is near. The Lord is close as the mention of his name. The Lord is as if though he were our very breath. In fact, in him we live and we move and we have our being. Many of us over the years have found Paisano to be what some in Celtic Christianity or Celtic Christianity call a thin place where heaven and earth don't seem so far away. Paul would want us to know that reality 24/7, 365. Because the Lord is near, because the Lord is here, it's a game changer. It changes absolutely everything. As our dear friend Steve Wells, pastor of South Main Houston, sometimes Paisano preacher, can say, that God is at work in our lives to make us less of what we used to be and more of what we ought to be. Because the Lord is near, it changes everything. Because the Lord is near, look at the text that we've just read. Because the Lord is near, we can be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. And time and again in this little letter, this 104 verse, 4-chapter letter, Paul says, no less than 16 times, joy, rejoice, rejoice with. It's almost as if though joy were the thread woven through Philippians. Even as joy is meant to be the flag flown from the castle of our hearts when the king is in residence. It was A.W. Tozier who once said that Christians owe it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. I wonder how we're doing in paying our debt. It's not as if though Paul's circumstances were always circumstances that were to be relished. Recall, his ministry to this community, which had now been in existence for likely over a decade, started when he responded positively to the Macedonian call, where a man from Macedonia was saying, come over and help us. And they did. And they make their way to Philippi via Samothrace and Neapolis from ancient Troas. And upon arrival, they go down to the river where they might pray. And Lydia, the seller of purple, becomes a believer in her household also. Then Paul and Silas are exercising the spirit of the python from the slave girl. And her owners get sideways with Paul and Silas, and they have them beaten by the magistrate with rods. They're landed in the Philippian jail cell. And before God ever offers the miracle of the earthquake so that it might lead to their release, we recall what Paul and Silas were doing in the jail. In the depths of the night, they're singing songs of praise. Stephen Curtis Chapman wonders, what kind of joy is this that counts it a blessing to suffer? What kind of joy is this that gives a prisoner a song? What kind of joy can look death in the face and face it with sweet victory? This is a joy of a soul that's forgiven and free. Because the Lord is near, we can be joyful. Because the Lord is near, we can be gentle. Paul says, let your gentleness be made manifest to all people. Can people accuse us of being gentle? Ours is a cultural context where gentleness has gone on a long vacation. We juxtapose our news sources one against the other, and we shout out so loud we can't even hear the other. Into this we hear, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and there you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The Lord is near. We can be joyful and gentle. And you see it? It's right in the text that we've read. We can be prayerful. It's sometimes suggested that we don't have a prayer. Whatever is true, that isn't. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Shadowlands. It's a movie of C.S. Lewis in his later life after having taught at Cambridge and at Oxford. He is in the midst of marrying late in his life. His wife is stricken with cancer. His colleagues wonder if he's going to pray in order that he might get that which he wants. And Lewis says, I don't pray so that God might do my bidding. I pray because I must. It's the air we breathe. It's our daily bread. We see that we pray. It can combat worry. Do not be anxious about anything. Do you recall that occasion when Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha? He goes there. It's his paisano. It's his retreat. And he begins to teach the disciples. And Mary situates herself in the circle of disciples as a disciple. And meanwhile, Martha is taking care of business. She is quite concerned that Jesus be offered the kind of hospitality that Middle Eastern people offer one another. So finally, Martha had had it up to, well, about here. And then she begins to tell Jesus what to do. Usually not a good idea. She says, Jesus, this is paraphrased, tell Mary to get off her duff. That good for nothing? Here I am working my fingers to a bone, and there she is doing what she always does. Nothing. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried about so many things. If there ever were a summary of our society, that's got to be it. You're worried about so many things. But Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm inclined to worry. I can lay awake at night. The morning can just meld into night, and I don't sleep as much as I would like, and we kind of laugh it off. I'm a worrywart, or it's a maternal prerogative, or all of these other excuses that we use one to another. Marcus Bachmule once said that worry is a practical form of atheism. No, we would never say there is no God. We would just live in such a way so as to say, there is no God. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why those anxious human beings run around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Because the Lord is near, we can be prayerful, and our prayers are meant to be admixed with thanksgiving. We can be thankful. And in our thanks, Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, Paul can say to the Thessalonians. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I like to find the will of God when it is that which is concealed. But here it is, right out in the open. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to be a thankful people. And not only in November. And when we're thankful, it allows us to get off the shackles of entitlement. Paul can chide the Corinthians when he asks, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you receive it, why do you boast as if though it were not a gift? All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And friends, then the peace of God, like a river, begins to flow into and over our lives. Truth be told, you have to be careful about bumper sticker theology. If you can reduce it to a sticker and you can put it on your bumper, then it's usually probably not worth just a whole lot. Plus, if you grow up in my family, you don't get to put anything on your bumpers because we don't put stickers on our bumpers in the Still household. Son, what you gonna do that for? Well, I'm not, Dad. But sometimes I see this bumper sticker that I happen to like. You've seen it. N-O Jesus, N-O peace. K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W peace. And the peace of God will come from the God of peace. And it will envelop your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus so that we can be mindful of the good and the true and the beautiful. Paul, earlier in this letter, admonishes the Philippians to have this habit of mind among themselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does this habit of mind look like? It looks a lot like these adjectives that Paul piles on top of one another in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. We're to be thoughtful about the good and the true and the beautiful, because the mind really is a terrible thing to waste. Whatever is true. And taken together, friends, this allows us to be a faithful people. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Just do it. You see, when we recognize afresh that the Lord is near, and not only here, it changes everything. And then we will be able to say with the apostle, I know how to live in abundance, and I know how to be abased. I know how to live high on the hog. I know how to be last at the trough. And I've learned the secret of contentment. Far more important than a banner, than a Friday night football team runs through, far more than that which is found on a coffee cup. Paul says, I can do everything through Christ, the one who is strengthening me. Remember on that one occasion, Paul asked the Lord that he might remove the thorn in the flesh. He didn't only ask once. He didn't only ask twice. He asked three times. And each time the answer was, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. And Paul says, okay, I get it. Sometimes it takes a bit. And the Lord Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. So that when you are weak, then you are strong. We learned it here and elsewhere. Little ones to him belong. We are weak. He is strong. The Lord is with us. And because the Lord is with us, we can experience his presence. We can enjoy the fellowship of one another. And what is more, as Brother Lawrence can say, we can practice his presence day in, day out, though unseen, more real than any other presence. Would you please pray with me? Our Lord, we're grateful for your goodness to us. God, I thank you that you are not a Bette Midler God, that you are not a from a distance God, that you're not a clockmaker God who just got it all going and then said hands off, but you're a God who's come near. And you are a God who is near. And Lord, during the course of this week, as we walk with you, and as we talk with you, and as you tell us, you, that we are your own, may the joy we share as we tarry here be a shared joy with one another and then with others also. The joy that can be known with Jesus, our Lord, because there is a joy on the journey. There's a light we can love on the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life and freedom for those who obey. So, Lord Christ, in this camp, have your way. Move among us, calling us to be conformed more fully to your image and causing us to be mindful of your promised presence, allowing us to know that you are able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or comprehend. And may we feel your presence. May we be enveloped by your grace. Your love, its height and width and breadth and depth, from which no one anywhere can separate us. And we're grateful that you're good and that you love us and that you are conforming us to your character and likeness, because momentary light afflictions are producing in us an eternal weight of glory that will outstrip all comprehension. Thank you for your presence, your peace here at Paisano. Through Christ we pray. Amen.